I think sometimes it's good to you really know they're dead when you see them that way. No doubt about it.
Yeah. I just weddings and funerals. I don't want to stay away from them. First said, JP, you get married or something happened down and then? I said, no way. I said, I might get a learner's permit.
Oh, it's cool in this breezeway. Got a nice breeze.
Yeah, there's something happened here. Me and old Black Colony working on this thing. I'd had a hemorrhoid operation. I was breathing too much, you know. I ain't been in the hospital long. Me and them got to work with this thing, trying to figure out how to do it. And I'd bought all that rough lumber. There's some of them boards, tuba H or whatever they are. They was, some of them was 28 feet long. Pine. You come out of a schoolhouse. Overnight. But I had to pile that lumber and I gave him $1,000 for the whole pile. And I built this and I don't know. I gave force, I guess, half of it to a couple over there. Couldn't find it. But somehow or another, there's a breeze. Like all the time. If there's any movement at all there, it just comes up here and
out.
Yeah, it's just a creep. I said, "Why, buddy, we must have something right."
We have all these empty tapes.
You know, how long are these tapes?
Well, this is 3 hours worth, but I have some more in the car.
I can't talk for 3 hours. Somebody said, JP, that'd be easy for you. Did you know to prepare a 6-minute talk is a ordeal? But you can sit down and talk to somebody for all day.
Yeah, isn't that strange?
Yeah.
It is.
It is.
It's an odd thing.
A 6-minute talk, especially when you start into it, I'll shake you. It's about an hour. Seems like it'll never end. Well. Y'all was here after Fiddler's Row?
Yes. You've just been back a day or two. How many years have you gone down there?
I guess, man.
We can't have that without you then, can we?
Down there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord, that's what I look forward to. The people, Bard Ray, I didn't expect him to be back this year.
How is he doing? I haven't seen him since 19.
Well, he looks better than he did last year because he had stopped smoking. And then he said he'd been stopped for about 3 months. But last year he looked real bad. See, he's an intermittent smoker. He'd stopped the year before last time. He looked fairly well. But last year he was smoking. And, you know, he just had a pile of them. Like he wasn't getting enough oxygen. But this year, oh, he's back prospecting for gold. He had a little plastic bottle with the gold flecks in for his pan for gold up in North Carolina. And I told him I'd come down to help him. He said, come on, which I'm going to. I'm going down there and get out in the woods. Somebody had to come get both of us in. And he hunts rubies. He stays there.
How do you find rubies?
They're down, I don't know. He finds. You know, that soil in North Carolina is kind of what I call alluvial, like sand and clay and red, you know. So I guess it's where it washes out of the stuff. You know. Mm.
And they would use a pan for that? Or?
Yeah. Well, what he does, he usually gets in ditches and stuff after rain. Like hunting artifacts, you know. But I guess Indian artifacts down there is just old hat to them, you know. Because that's Indian country.
Yeah.
Ashville, I don't know that, yeah. I think Cherokee, I believe.
I don't know what a raw ruby looks like. Is it a...
Don't look like, just looks like a piece of chipped off.
Because it's got to really be cut to be pretty.
Yeah,
so
that's it. I mean, like a diamond.
Uh-huh.
Well, a diamond is not. It has to be cut.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people just think, boy, they're going to shine a light on a big diamond and beat your head and just knock your eye out. But it's pure carbon. I found a petrified snail shell of some kind over there in Sardinia, and I left it. It was about that long, but it looked just looked like a great big snail shell that we normally find around here. But it was it turned into limestone.
Where I grew up. On Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is right kind of on what's called Green Bay. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, my dad would take me out of town along this very long shore, which was all, I believe, limestone, some kind of sedimentary rock, and really, for miles, there were just millions of fossils.
In that.
And you could just pick them up by the thousands. You'd have to chip them out sometimes. A lot of them were these mollusk-like shells. But every once in a while, you'd find something a little more exciting than that. But I remember that.
There's a strange thing exciting. About that. Do you hear Carter Cave? You can find seashells there. Yeah, I used to pick them up, bring them home, show them the pages growing up. There we get them. I spoke of car gates. Oh, I mean, up on, not down in the hollers, up on the top of the burnt terrain.
The fossils were.
Yeah, well, some of the rocks, are maybe some of them in the rocks around here. Let's see. I don't know. You can look at some of them. Well, you won't be the one hearing that fiddle the most, you know. And you get you a ball of rod and about a pound of it. And fish your boat off of that. You sit preferably on the front porch because people are not going to enjoy you being in the house while you learn to fiddle. You sit on the front porch and you sit in the sun. And you fiddle. And you fiddle, always in the sun. And that makes a shadow, and when the shadow from your elbow wears a hole in the floor, then you can play a little fiddle.
Uh-huh.
Well, you just talked me out of it.
Stay far from wrong, is it? Now, don't you take anything and get there.
Yeah.
No, what we was talking about, I mean, you mentioned the tunes that was maybe had a Mark O'Connor influence.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he is a Texas-style fiddler. I'll say Benny Thomason to a T. That is the case. When I hear Mark O'Connor, I might as well hear Dick Barrett or Benny Thomason, and Benny Thomason taught both of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into the Northwest, one fiddler you're going to hear about right away is Benny Thomason. And well, he was my idol, I mean, in a sense, as a fiddler. But you don't fiddle like Benny Thomason. I mean, then you're back to singing like Johnny Cash.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. But what is bothering me currently is a fiddler, seemingly, they have latched on to the Texas-style fiddler, or fiddle, and forgotten their own roots or heritage in playing the Kentucky-style fiddle. Now, when I go on the West Coast, here, nobody knows about J.P. Frazee.
But when we went to Port Townsend, everybody had the record. And the tunes that they played, but they was played in the way I learned them in East Kentucky. And to them, they ate it up. It was like I say, putting a different icing on a good cake, you know.
Mm.
And they was more concerned about the Appalachian field style than they were their own heritage, was predominantly the Western style of Texas fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's that walking away. Well, if you listen today, seemingly they have no self-expression, is what I'm trying to say here for music. You don't see the flourishes that you seen in the fiddler, that he might be happier, as we say, getting with it as he went to a
fiddler. You were talking about people just sounding like the record.
Yeah.
Just like the record. And, well, one time we saw that a fella had come down from Philadelphia to your festival, and he knew every song on your record, every tune, and there was a place on his record that he'd worn a little scratched place, and every time he got to that place, he had a little bobble there. I mean, he was...
That was Glenn Giamo. Yeah.
You know who I'm talking
about.
Well,
when we went up to the Philadelphia Spring Festival, they invited us up. Well, we had never been up there. And so it was all, everything was all new to us. Well, the first thing we heard when we went back to where the lounge was for the performers was Wild Rose of the Mountain. And it was this little fella trying to play it, and then others were playing it. And anyhow, JP and I, well, JP got to playing, and we had just gone over on Friday night. We were going to play on Saturday night. We just went, when we got there, we went to our motel and just went over to see what was going on. And
yeah.
When you get through getting them mugs off, babe, would you call the phone company to tell my phone out of order?
Do what?
He wants his ball call phone.
Get the mugs off, babe.
Get what, man?
You call the phone company to tell my phone ain't working.
Okay. And then you call it.
Yeah, I've got dirt all right. See your pants.
I ain't no hurry.
It's off the table. Okay.
Well,
I don't want to take any pictures or see my pants.
Don't
worry.
Okay.
They might want to call him to work or something.
Well, I've called him just a minute, of course.
What's brilliant?
It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
What is it?
Clematis. Clematis. It's just a different variety of that purple one that's out front.
They're in alphabetical order. Arkansas Traveler. Do you play that? I'm
yeah,
going to put
I,
a check
I,
if
I,
you do.
I'd have to prank with it.
Mm-hmm.
Apple
Blossom.
No.
Acorn Hill Hornpipe.
No.
Ace of Spades. See, that to me is a Texas team. Do you associate that with Texas?
Benny Thomas.
See. Alfie Hornpipe.
Now I know about it. That's another Northwest tune.
Mm-hmm. Angus Campbell.
That's Canadian. No, I don't.
Oh, that. I'm going to put Canadian. See when you identify them. Yes. Billy and the Lowgram.
Well, that's everywhere.
That's everywhere.
Yeah.
Adrian's Reel.
No.
Mm-hmm. Bill Cheatham.
Yep.
Bully of the Town.
Well, yes.
Blue Eagle Hornpipe.
No.
Blackberry Blossom.
That play two.
Hmm? You play two of them? Different keys or different versions?
No, I play the original Blackberry Blossom and the one we're all familiar with.
Original plus the more recent.
Yeah.
Would that be a way to describe it?
I'd
more
say,
recent?
I'd say. Because now I heard the one we play now, I didn't. It's sort of like the two tunes mixed together.
Brilliancy?
No.
Brown Skin Gal?
No, but that's one of my favorites.
Bitter Creek?
Yeah, I play a version of Bitter Creek.
Bile the Cabbage Stem?
Yeah.
Is that a recent tune?
You know, I don't really know. As far back as I remember, buy them cabbage down to the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah, it's something.
Yeah.
Brickyard Joe.
Brickyard Joe and Martha Campbell is practically the same tune. I don't know if you knew that or not.
That's why I've been having trouble.
Okay. Because that's the difference.
Uh-huh.
In a fiddler and an untrained fiddler and one that's trained. One in music, they more precise.
Uh-huh.
Cuckoo's
nest. Cuckoo's nest.
I play one, but it's nothing like what you're saying.
Coon on a rail.
No.
Or hog trough reel.
No.
Cherokee shuffle.
No.
Cotton baggin.
No.
Cotton eyed Joe.
Yeah.
Crippled turkey.
No.
Chinese breakdown.
Yeah.
Chicken reel.
Yeah.
Coming down from Denver. See, that's a Missouri, Mississippi tune. Cindy.
Yeah.
Cottage Hill.
No.
Devil's Dream.
Yeah.
Dusty Miller.
Yeah.
Dusty's Hornpipe.
No.
Durang's Hornpipe.
Yeah, I interspersed with Liverpool.
Oh. Don't let the deal go down.
Probably. In years.
Done gone.
That's another one. It's been years. I don't play.
Mm-hmm. Durham Reel. It doesn't say Bull Durham or Durham's Bull. It says Durham's Reel.
It was called Durham's Bull. Buddy Durham started that tune.
Was he on the radio?
Well, he's he's on television.
Mm-hmm.
That I first heard him.
Fiddler's Dream.
Yeah.
Forked Deer.
Yeah.
Fisher's Hornpipe.
Oh, a little.
Fire on the Mountain.
Yeah.
Flop-Eared Mule.
Yeah.
Golden Eagle Hornpipe.
No.
Gray Eagle.
Yeah.
Give the Fiddler a Dream.
Yeah.
High Level Hornpipe.
No.
Hell Among the Yearlings.
Yeah.
Huckleberry Hornpipe.
Huckleberry Hornpipe and Lime Rock.
Is that right?
That's right.
Okay. Hell Broke Loose in Georgia.
I don't know. I play a tune 8 days in Georgia. I mean, it's
probably relative, I don't know. Georgia.
Or Sop in the Gravy. I mean, that's Georgia Fiddle.
I think we've got Sop in the Gravy here.
Yeah, but you're all in Georgia Fiddle.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that we've got Sop in the Gravy over there with the S's. Harrison's Hornpipe?
No, that's probably Doc Harris Hornpipe. No, I don't do me a hornpipe.
Hollow Poplar.
Nope.
Howdy's Hornpipe.
Nope.
Indian River.
Nope.
Ida Red.
Yeah.
Indian Creek.
Nope.
Jagged Diamond.
Yeah.
Katie Hill.
Yeah.
Leather Bridges.
Yeah.
Lightning Hornpipe.
Nope.
Little Joe.
No.
Liberty.
Yeah.
Liberty at the Corn Liquor Steel.
I don't know what the difference is.
Legal Tender Hornpipe.
No.
Sounds like a Civil War piece, doesn't it? If they named it then.
Legal Tender, that must be new money.
London Hornpipe.
No.
Lime Rock. We've got famous Huckleberry.
You remember what I told you about that?
Uh-huh.
Huckleberry Hornpipe, Lime Rock, same too.
Mississippi Sawyer.
Oh, yes, older.
Marmaduke's Hornpipe.
Nope.
Maple Sugar.
Yeah.
Martha Campbell.
No.
Miller's Reel. Yeah. N-G.
Yeah, my version.
Money Musk.
Nope.
McMurtry's Reel.
No.
New Broom.
No.
You know what? You know.
New Broom is something else. What is it?
They got parentheses, black man in parentheses in the woodpile.
And they say they're proud of their heritage. I doubt it.
New Money.
New Money, yeah.
Ojo Clark.
Yeah.
Some of them you can't help but learn, you know. Pacific Slope. Patty on the Turnpike. Portsmouth Hornpipe. Rachel.
No.
Rachel.
Hey, wait a minute.
What about Rachel?
Rachel. That is another tune.
But
you
think
about
Rachel?
Ken,
I didn't think.
No. Kenny Baker did this. I mean, got them all.
Oh yeah, we're seeing some of his influence down here too. Ragtime Annie.
Yeah.
Ricketts Hornpipe.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain Goat.
Well, Rocky Mountain Goat and New Richmond and... Wait a minute, what is the thing I put on the record? Swiss Chalet or
Mudfence.
They're the same. Court of who's got the fiddle.
That's your prerogative. You can go on whatever you want to. Ribbons Ridge.
No.
Run, parentheses, smoke, run.
That's run, Johnny, run, or run, nigger, run, I mean.
Run, parentheses, black man, run.
Yeah, I wonder why that they're afraid to call themselves black.
Well, they haven't been the ones who wrote that down.
Well, I mean, Lord of mercy, I mean, you got to call spades.
They just use black man in place of nigger, which sounds that really
fun. That ain't no fun.
Rutland's Reel.
I play a version of it.
You do. Sally Gooden.
Yeah.
Sally Johnson.
Well, it's hard for me to tell the difference. According to if I'm in Texas, it'll be Sally Johnson. They're similar.
Isn't that Katie Hill? That's Katie Hill with an E in it.
Well, Sally Johnson is a little different.
With an E in it. That's the best definition I've heard that spells it out. I can't endow it.
You ain't taping this stuff, are you? I hope not.
Soldier's Joy.
Yeah.
Topping the Gravy.
Well, to me, it's often the gravy in 8 days in Georgia, all that is Georgia fiddle. I mean, just similar.
Salt River.
I haven't played it in forever. I did play it.
You used to play. Is that more of a bluegrassy tune to you?
Well, the way they do it now, I mean, especially the bluegrassers, they picked up on it and then they got to putting their slurs and stuff in it, you know, and made it a bluegrass tune. Mm-hmm. Played too fast.
I think it's an old-time tune.
It's an old-time tune. Well, it's one of Wilson Douglas's best tunes. A better tune. I like it real well.
Sugar in the Gourd.
Yeah.
Yes. Forgotten old beef. It kind of jars you, doesn't it? They have them alphabetized, too, so we're in the S's. Say, oh, man. And they do.
A version.
And Stony Point.
That's Wild Horse. I don't know if you knew that or not.
They've got, where is it? Just a minute, I thought they had Wild Horse.
It's got three names, Wild Horse and Colonel Prentice and Stony Point. It's all the same to me.
Uh-huh. What Prentice?
Colonel Prentice.
C-O-L-O-N-E-S.
Yeah.
It's probably Colonel Prentice that played it and they just didn't know what else to call it and called it that.
St. Anne's.
Yep.
Sailor's Hornpipe.
No.
Still on the Hill.
No.
Snowflake Reel.
No.
Slippery Elm.
No.
Wagner.
A version of it.
Tom and Jerry.
No.
Twinkle Twinkle.
You tell me something. I want to know where you got the name of it.
Twinkle, Twinkle. It doesn't say Little Star.
Well, that's what it is. It's Little Star, because Twinkle, Twinkle. And then they drop the Little Star off. Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star is nursery rhyme. Little Star is a Texas fiddle thing, and you ought to know that.
Turkey in the straw.
Yeah.
Tugboat.
No.
Wagner's hornpipe. As opposed to Wagner or Pussy Wagner.
No.
Wake up Susan.
Yeah.
Waynesboro reel.
No.
When the cat came back.
Get
them
back.
Yeah,
you
know that.
Just that much
off. West Virginia hornpipe.
No.
Whiskey before breakfast.
Yeah.
Whistling Rufus.
Yeah, version of it.
White horse breakdown.
No.
Woodchoppers breakdown.
No. Well, white horse breakdown is a Canadian hoedown.
Oh, okay. Canadian. Boy, that French Canadian stuff's fun to listen to. Canadian.
Boring too.
Yeah, it does. It does.
It goes on and on and on and on.
The Cape
Breton.
The Cape Breton. It's kind of boring to watch, but I sure love it, I tell you. And to hear it, but not to watch somebody do it.
Well, they played out there in Washington until I didn't think they would ever quit, and I thought the audience would be bored to death, and I never heard such applause in my life.
Oh, Lord.
Is that right? They go through the tune over and over?
Over and over and over again, and just like like robots.
Is that right?
You know, the same kind of motions and so forth. And
we have a taste.
No expression.
Shetland fiddler.
I got tickled. Every one of them is set that way.
We've got a record of you. This is the Canadian fiddle star.
You know when they come down and play. I mean,
did they play seated?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just with a piano, normally with accompaniment.
No stringed instruments.
No.
Behind
I don't remember.
No. And well, now on a jam session tonight, she wouldn't stay over there. They did a lot of it, guitar.
Somebody had to keep things together. They had to be awake enough
well,
to know what to do next.
Well, for me and that other old boy crawling across that parade ground in the morning trying to break daylight, there wouldn't have been a
when somebody was placed to 5:30 in the morning, has to do a workshop at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Did somebody, you know, do that?
Every night, buddy. I mean,
and if they hadn't had a piano he could prop himself up on, I don't know what would have happened.
Get yourself propped up, get the piano, keep playing.
Somebody I got tickled at him said, do you want to drink a liquor? He said, I don't believe I could stand to take a drink. I said, well, you haven't drank any. He said, that's right. I said, I haven't slept either.
Well, I think it's going to be interesting when we get all the fiddlers. If you keep going to Townsend, is that the name of the festival in Washington State?
Yeah.
If you keep going to Townsend, pretty soon you'll be learning those tunes that you won't be able to keep from if you hear them played that many times. You'll come back and be playing.
Well, I
could
do it. Imagine jumped on to me. I was picking up their technique. They got a way of
fiddling.
It's a little boat.
And this one was about
bounces, you know. And I mean, it is really bouncing them notes like fiddling. Well, Franklin George, he come around the tent. I was watching this guy fiddle. Frank come up. I said, Frank. He said, what? I said, you want to buy a fiddle? He said, I just busted one. Tickled me to death. I said, you did, yes, sir. He said, that feller looks like that he's got a fire started in the grass and with the stick too little to put it out with. You just about see that. He'll fight the fire. He said, that bow. But it was pretty. I mean, unbelievable. But they could all do that. There was a guy up there. He had the real heavy glasses. I mean, he was just practically blind even with them. They looked like a bottom out of Coca-Cola bottle glasses, you know, they're so thick. But now, they had imported him in there. But he was playing, he sat up there, you know, just playing away. And this guy that we saw in the concert, when he walked in, that guy quit and he wouldn't play anymore. The other guy was, I guess probably a violinist, but
this guy knowed him, and I asked, what was that guy that coordinated that thing up there?
Greg Farrell.
Yeah, I said, what happened to him? He said he don't like him because he plays prettier fiddling. I said, gee, but he has typical fiddlers, you know.
Typical, typical.
Well, I want to finish telling you about Glenn Giamo. When we went up there, and here these kids had this idea like this, you know, and he said, oh, I'd be honored. So I played the guitar, you know, and a few tunes, and how we quit and went out. I went out to watch the program and was coming back, and I passed this boy and another one in the hall, and he said, she played my guitar. She played my guitar. Well, then this Glenn Giamo, he wanted me to, if I would get that guitar, I guess it was that boy, yeah, that same one, asked me if would I play with him while he played Wild Rose of the Mountain. So he felt so good about that, you know. So we got a letter from him when we found out that we were going back up to the next spring festival. He wanted to come to our festival, and it was right, we were going someplace up in there, maybe not Brandywine. Anyhow, we got this letter from him that could he ride back with us to go to our festival. But before he got to that, oh, praise all down through there, you know. And then when he asked, you know, could he ride back with us to come to our festival, I don't remember just how it was. I was saying, sure you can, sure you can, you know. And got down, had his name and not a sign of an address. Nothing on there. And then went, and he showed up that year that you were there, you know. And so I told him, he didn't know why he hadn't heard from us, but he got him a ride down.
No idea. So
I told him, and he was just floored. He just couldn't believe
got
he hadn't put his name. Well, then he came back to Carter Caves a couple of years with his brother, who I found out later had a show, a folk music show in Philadelphia, and was quite well thought of. But I never did send him any more invitations because they were the only people we had that were drinking, and they would worry me to death. Wanting to know when they could go on, I'd arrange time for them to go on, then they'd disappear. Might have to reschedule around them. Then they'd come back, when are we going to go on? And they would be drinking a little more. So I discouraged
them
coming back, yeah. And, you know, we just haven't had that at ours.
Was
so
he the one I called
drinking, but nothing like
yeah,
that.
I know.
Not drinking and then walking out on the stage.
No.
I tell you one thing that will cure you from drinking and then playing is to tape it. You
right.
Think it sounded so pretty.
And he was becoming such a good fiddler. I mean, he had by this time gotten Buddy Thomas's record and different ones and was copying everybody. And Ed Haley, he played one of Ed Haley's tunes. It's hard for anybody to copy.
He was putting a lot of time and energy into it. You could see that from the way he could play through. What tickled me is he'd start on side A and he would play through the tunes in order with a bounce. You could tell that he put that album on and just played along with taping.
That's scratching the record, putting that in.
Scratching the record.
You heard the story about the rock and roll guitar picker. Boy, they's really getting gone, you know, and this electric guitar, and somehow he almost dropped his guitar, and the neck of it slid down the mic stand, you know, and made this real weird sound, and his 18 hippies hit up on the stage, I bet him to see you do that.
JB, could you sit back further?
Okay, yeah, are you going to speed over this way?
Oh. Move that barrel back so that you're not in front of the...
Oh,
that's here. What he was trying to do.
Trying to get you in the shade there, wasn't he?
I'll tell you, when we made that wreck here, I felt so sorry for Mark Wilson. It's that JP just where he wanted him, and the mic's just where he wanted him.
He has to come down here.
And every time JP would play one, he'd scoop that chair. Mark very quietly would go over and move the mic. And after so long a time, he finally said,
JP, have you decided where you want to sit?
You wait, but get me plumb again the wall.
That's what we finally
you
had
know
to
the
do
story about the bellboy in the hotel years ago. You know, people had everybody chew tobacco. This whole hillbilly cowboy or something, and chewing. Had them stick to it all, brass shiny, you know. And this fella just spit in the floor, you know, and the boy grabbed the spit to and sat there where he spit. This happened four or five times. Five of us said, listen, son, he said, if you don't quit moving that darn thing around, he said, I'm going to spit in you. He thought he was going to spit in his old brand.